What a good start.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
This is gonna be fun.
And we're in.
Welcome back to the Smalls and Talls podcast.
Such an early welcome. I love the early welcomes.
Sometimes you just want to jump right in, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Hey, if you've heard our last two podcasts, this one will tie perfectly to them. If you haven't, go listen to the other two first because this one ties perfectly to them. what we want to talk about today is what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many things that we can talk about with what makes you happy. There's obviously like the more like the here and the now, the immediate like gratification, and then the more long-term thinking, the, you know, call it closer to home, the more profound version of happiness or joy, I guess you could say.
Definitely.
And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I'll jump into why in a little bit later, but I think it's funny because, well, not funny, but this life is, I think everyone's just trying to be happy.
Yeah.
We're trying to find something that fulfills them and gives them that happiness. And yet sometimes in that pursuit of finding that happiness, we are so miserable.
Yeah.
Or can be.
Definitely.
Right? And I'm not saying we don't go through hard times. We all do. But it's like, okay, so if we're all miserable and trying to find that happiness, what gives us that real happiness? And, and that's where I want to get to as we talk today. But
yeah,
before we jump into all that crazy, the heavy stuff.
The deep stuff.
Let's start with the fun stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, like, on a day-to-day basis, man, what makes you happy?
Great question. It's because it's so simple.
Yeah.
But it's like you ask that to somebody and they go, huh, like what makes me happy? You know? And like, I want to talk about this because for me, it's also long-term. It's not just on a day to day, but music especially, right? Mm-hmm. Listening as well as creating for me is that's such a highlight, such a joy in my life. But I'm going to talk about social like interaction for me as an individual. I'm like, I'm extremely extroverted. That's just like the way that I'm wired. And I feed off of being around people and being in environments where there's a lot of people, just a few people, but like not being alone, I guess, in a sense. Like the thing I do when I'm alone is music because that connects me to God and that's for me, right? But when I'm with other people, that's something that can bring me a lot of joy. And I don't do it for that. Like I'm not going into social atmospheres going, yeah, this is going to make me happy. So like, that's good, you know, but I'm going into that thinking, oh, I love being around people. Like let's go and do that. And I just love connection, and conversation. So that's a day-to-day one for me for sure.
No, I'm kind of similar too with that. Like I love being with people. And we could be doing anything. I think this is a great thing. You know when you're around good people and you could be doing anything and you're still having fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be complex. It could be, I mean, just sitting around talking.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the, I don't know if this is actually the official title, but the 7-minute principle? This has to do with conversation. But if you can go, like typically, like you put any group of humans together, typically a conversation will like you'll be able to sit and chat for about 7 minutes and then you'll hit a moment of silence and it calms down and you know you're in a good group for you if that quote unquote 7 minutes is a lot longer than 7 minutes.
Interesting.
If it lasts a lot longer, you know that's good for you. And if it's a lot less, you know that's not good for you. And if you hit that moment of silence, that 7-minute moment of silence in a minute, like that's a sign that maybe this isn't a conversation or a relationship that for me is fulfilling enough. Because on average, it's about 7 minutes. And you'll notice it now that I've mentioned it.
Yeah. Because
once I had it pointed out to me, then I'm sitting in conversations and I'm like, oh, we just hit the 7-minute mark. But we're like 15, 20 minutes into this conversation. That's awesome. Like, and people hate silence, but I'm celebrating that because I'm like, we just did that for like 15, 20 minutes. Like, that's awesome. But
well, I think too, the silence is good sometimes. Right?
Definitely. Like, definitely.
You know, even if you don't make it to the 7 minute mark, like sometimes it allows you to shift gears.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes like, I should say this isn't like a, especially around people that you're with all the time. This isn't like a, you need to be over 7 minutes right, every time. But you know what I mean? Like,
you can be friends with this person because you didn't make it 7 minutes of talking.
That's so funny.
But no, I get that though. And like social interaction is big. And I think it's changed for me over the years a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially when we were younger, we didn't have any kids. It was really getting together with other couples and doing a lot with like other people.
Yeah.
Now it's doing a lot more with our family.
Yeah.
Not just like my kids, right? Like, but my wife and I with our extended family, right? With
yeah.
our siblings and stuff like that. That's become more of the focus. And one of our favorite things to do are play our board games.
Same.
So like that brings us a ton of joy.
That brings me a ton.
And we've talked about this, right? We love board games. Our families have played board games together since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time.
In the beginning.
and they're just so much fun. It's such a great icebreaker too.
Yeah.
Right? Like you could be in a not great conversation that ends in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Start a board game and it changes everything.
It shifts everything for sure.
So I think that's a huge thing for me.
Definitely. I love the atmosphere that board games like bring.
Yes.
And then I've also shifted as like a board gamer player or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over the years where like when I was in high school or like or middle school sort of age, I was uber competitive and I'm still like a very competitive guy. Like I want to win,
right?
But like I've shifted. I realized because it eventually started causing problems how like much I wanted to win at games and I would get so frustrated at the end. And then I realized that's not the point of us sitting down to play a board game. Like, yeah, I want to win. That's fun. But like, I don't need to win to have fun. And once I realized that, I was like, oh, this is about way more than like winning a game. And then now it's just like, it's such a delight in my life when I like sit down and play a board game because it's like, I can have so much fun and respect and like, I don't need to win. And it's so refreshing. Oh, I love
it. No, I get that too. We're trying to teach out to our kids because we get competitive.
Yeah.
We have a fun time and you know, it's all about being a good sport. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes some of our kids cry about it. They get mad and it's like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just a game.
Yeah.
And not only is it teaching them how to be a good sport in board games, but it's teaching them an important life lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, like, okay, fine. You have those emotions. They're validated. Like, I get it. I get upset too when someone, you know, like, ruins my path in a game of Ticket to Ride or Block
right.
Us or something. That's very frustrating. And you're going to hit the like big score.
Yeah.
But you don't get it because someone
some knucklehead ruined my route.
Please. but like, that's not what it's about, like you said.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. We actually at work, we have picked up Online Risk.
Mm.
It's free.
That's so fun.
It's free too. Like the site we use is free and they have, I mean, you can pay for premium maps, but we don't do that. And so they have a rule where you can set up a 24-hour turn.
Mm.
So just as we're going through our work day, you know, there's like 8 of us on here that every couple of weeks we play a game of Risk. And it is fun because like trash talking happens because of it. Like, it's just, and occasionally you get riled up because it's Risk.
Yeah.
You know, you get
I love
screwed.
Risk.
Like,
what a game. Sponsor us.
But yeah, right. That'd be awesome. But it's just, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the kind of stuff I love is it just, it like takes people and maybe apart for whatever reason or across the nation or whatever that looks like and brings you together.
Yeah.
In like a fun way.
That's
so
fun.
I would say like, that's fun. That brings me, and that's more the, it's kind of a mix of more that instant gratification of like doing something there in the moment, but it's also kind of that long-term joy or happiness because you're doing something that creates memories.
Yeah. And
right?
builds
That's not
connections.
Just, like,
right.
I still remember when we played Curses.
Curses. Yep.
That will go down as like a highlight moment.
Yeah.
Because
and,
it was
and we've
just
tried
so
to
cool.
recreate it and it,
not the same.
It wasn't the same because that one time was phenomenal.
It, and we've had fun playing other games and stuff
for sure.
too, but it was just like, it was down to your dad and me. We both had like 10 curses and we were rocking.
And you know, it was great because everyone was still around the table. Nobody lost interest and we were all just watching you two finish the game.
Oh, because we were, I mean,
crushing
it. It was awesome. I had like 5 different accents I was trying to go through and remember, and I'm like, okay.
So good.
I don't even think we finished that game. I think it ended on a tie, didn't it?
Possibly. I don't even remember the end, but I just remember the joy and the laughter of watching you guys try to do it. Oh, man. It was
so funny.
Great.
Yeah.
No, see, and that lasting memory is like, and that doesn't happen every time you play, right?
Because
most of the time it's like instant gratification, like you're saying, where it's like, okay, this is happiness and like joy right now. But like tomorrow or the next day, it's like, we're not really, maybe you do think about it for a little bit, but like by the next week, like you're not thinking about that one time.
Hey man, we went mini golfing the other day and Landon beat me.
Hey.
He smoked us. It wasn't like William and I weren't even close. He was like 3 or 5 strokes ahead of me.
Let's go, Lando.
I was a couple of strokes ahead of William.
Yeah.
And we were driving in the car today, and he's like, Dad, remember when I smoked you and William in mini golf? I'm like, I do remember that. So it's like, you know, fun memories. And yeah, like, it was funny, though, because I'm like, are you serious? And Landon's laughing. And
that's awesome. That's awesome.
So that's fun. And coming back to what you were talking about, I know we'll talk about music more in general. I know it. And I'm not saying it doesn't have meaning in my life. It does, but it's a different kind of meaning for you because that's what you're focusing on, like vocationally and stuff like that. For me, music does bring a lot of happiness, though. And I think it's because it evokes a lot of different emotions.
Yeah.
You know, if you're having a tough day, sometimes listening to a specific song lightens the mood.
Definitely.
And sometimes if you're having a bad day and you need to cry, hey, tough men cry.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Not all the time, occasionally. No.
Yeah.
sometimes a sad song's great too.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of why I love music is because, one, it can bring people together also by talking about different genres, learning about things like talking to you, Brandon, about artists I've never known and then finding joy and like, whoa, like that's a sweet drop. That's like way cool how he composed that, like all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's fascinating to talk to people about the way that they listen and like, and what they're listening to and for and stuff like that. And everybody's so unique. Or talking, my favorite question to ask is like, what's your, and we did a whole episode or two episodes, a two parter, on this, but like top 5 artists.
Yeah.
Right? I'm gonna sneeze. Oh,
achoo.
There it is. but I love asking that because it shows their character and like what really inspires them as an individual. And
as
like,
long that's as cool. It's not country. No.
Right. Okay. That's my take yet again of, well, like I can sit and respect if like you love country music, but if I ask the top 5 artists thing and all 5 are similar sounding country artists, I roll my eyes and you have no opinion when it comes to music for me. Like I don't care enough to like send you cool stuff. I'm not going to talk about my stuff because it's not going to hit. It's not going to have the impact that it needs to have.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm
not trying to throw too much shade, but like if all 5 are similar sounding country artists,
I say it jokingly.
Yeah.
But, to be fair, like, and we've talked about this, country singers are incredible singers at the same time. So I can't throw too much shit.
I can't either.
I just can't listen to it.
Oh man.
It's just not my cup of tea.
Something I want to talk about, instant gratification and happiness for me as an individual. And this is shifting gears from like group stuff, is rock climbing. I'm a big rock climber and in sports in general. I love sports. I love team sports, but for me as an individual, rock climbing is something that I can go and do with people and I'll have a good time, but I can go and do it by myself and I'll have a good time. And I think a lot of it has to do with like problem solving and like, and I get a big release of like, I don't know what chemicals in my brain.
Endorphins.
Stuff. Endorphins. Yeah. That like, I don't have a lot of anxiety when I'm rock climbing because my focus is that route. My focus is what I'm doing. Right. And it's more important to stay on the wall than to think about the future. Right. And so I'm like, this is, I don't know. That's something for me. I think it grounds me in the present And I think that helps with happiness. I think happiness is, it's not something that can dwell in the past or the future. I mean, you can have memories and you can look forward to the future, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's that in the moment thing, right? And, yeah. And I, that's why I love sports as well. For me, obviously basketball is
love basketball. My
go-to. Now I don't necessarily go play with like a bunch of people anymore. Cause I mean, even like I've got family members that they're kind of hanging up their high tops because they're getting injured.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily go play on teams or anything like that, but it's one that I will either go play, but like I could go play on a court by myself, just shooting around.
Yeah.
Or I could have a couple buddies or like, honestly, I'll take my boys.
Yeah.
And I'll go shoot around with my boys and we don't do anything too intense, but
it's fun.
But it's fun. It's focused. It's sometimes I'll listen to music while I'm doing it. Right. And like it allows me to kind of get out of my world and focus on a sport.
Something else.
And that's also why I love watching. Yeah, it's why I love watching basketball too. Like either live or over the TV. And I can't do that with every sport.
Yeah.
Some sports I can watch in person but not on TV.
Yeah. That's a good take.
But like basketball is one that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like I can enjoy it in pretty much any form.
Yeah. And in a very similar way, and it grounds me in the present, and I'm so focused on that I forget about everything that's going on.
Yep.
My dad and I have such a strong connection, friendship, and love for each other because a lot of our core memories are games, either going to or sitting and watching on the TV, or he's traveling for work and I'm FaceTiming him and putting it on the screen so he can watch, right? And like that way we can talk and make commentary on the game, but like at the end of the day, we're forgetting about work, or forgetting about school, or forgetting about all that stuff. And it's like, this is the moment. And I get stressed about the sport or my team or different things. Sure. But like that feeling when they hit a deep three and it puts us up right at the end of the game. Like that is something that just brings so much joy. I have so many memories that are flooding back to me of games and like moments. The
buzzer beaters.
Right?
Yeah.
That it's just like, it didn't matter if I was in person. Didn't matter if I was listening on the radio. Like, joy, happiness, and it's a very temporal thing, right?
Sure.
But yeah, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I don't know. I love it.
No, I went golfing today with my brother, nephew, and my brother-in-law. So the four of us, and usually it'll be like me and my dad, my brother, and brother-in-law. Four of us, and you know, we go occasionally. We don't go all the time, but I love it because I try and make sure that my phone is put away, my watch is off, so I don't get notifications, and we are out, not like in nature, quote unquote, but we are out focused on a sport for 2.5 hours, right? We do 9 holes usually, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Gets us away. I'm not worrying about what's going on outside of that, and it's really cool.
And if you get frustrated, it's with yourself, and it's with your shots,
and
it's the game, but it has nothing to do with the outside world, and you always finish, and you go, I'm so glad we did that.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can get frustrated about your shot. I don't play enough to really care.
Yeah, right?
Same. But it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's fun for me, and even if I don't play great, like,
and to laugh when you hit a bad shot.
Oh, yeah.
Or to go, let's go when you hit a really good one. And everyone's like, Adam, that was an amazing shot, right? Or like, well done, or like, good putt, or like, whatever, you know? Like, great feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or when someone almost gets hit by a ball, that one's funny too, right?
Or when you almost hit a house, or different things like that. Like,
yeah, I didn't have one those today, but we had a couple. It was like, don't hit a window, don't hit a window. Clunk. Okay.
Okay, we're good. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, sports is one of those that like it brings together people, and it brings together those, and it is more that instant gratification. I would agree with you.
Yeah,
but the memories
definitely
still play through.
Do you have another one that
I have more of an instant gratification.
Yeah,
food.
Yeah. Definitely.
I like
a good burger.
Love food.
Good steak.
Love it, man. It's just.
I'm thinking about earlier today. I was at my cousin's bachelor party, and I made myself this awesome burger that I was just like, this is so good.
Dude,
take me back to that tomato.
I seared up some like tuna, ahi tuna, like tuna steaks for the first time ever this other day. I put it with some ramen and an egg. and took a picture of it. I mean, it turned out.
You know, it's good when you take a picture of the food, you know?
It was Insta. I don't even use social media. No. But, like, it turned out phenomenal. Like, look at
that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Like, come on. Tell me that does not look amazing.
For the listeners, let me just describe this to you. Picture the best meal you've ever had. Couple notches
it's
down.
It's not that good.
There it is. Like,
but like but that sear on the tuna, like that's amazing. Perfectly cooked. And oh. It felt good because I never cooked it before. So when it came out, it was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then like tonight I made kind of like a Philly cheesesteak with like bacon.
Oh yeah.
The kids all loved it too. So like, you know, you do well when all the kids enjoy it too. So food. Like I enjoy food.
Yeah.
I enjoy eating it, but I also enjoy cooking it. Mm. And part of that too is the satisfaction when people eat the food and they're like, wow, this is insane.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it goes both ways. Yeah. And food is such a cultural thing too. Like I lived in Mexico for 3 years, lived in Spain for two, and especially in Mexico, like, you're part of the family.
Yeah.
You come over to the house, you eat food with them, and it brings everyone together. That or sports, right? Yeah. Like soccer was huge there too.
It's a connection thing.
So it goes both ways. It's that instant gratification. Dude, this tastes amazing.
Yeah.
But then it's also kind of similarly to the relationship piece of it.
Definitely.
But that is way more instant gratification because you eat that burger and you're like,
that was awesome. Then it's gone. Yeah. That one's like almost immediately after you're like, well, there's all the happiness from it.
Maybe
is gone.
You get the occasional good burp, but you know. I knew I was hoping to get a reaction. Like
yikes.
That
oh, man.
All right. What else, man? What makes you happy?
I had one. This is the problem. I should not have. I should have just taken the reins and said it because now I'm sitting here. Oh, I was going to ask you about like, well, just like events in general or like going to something like that's great. Like concerts. Like I love that. And the memories of that and the feeling there and different stuff. And, but I was going to talk about like museums or or like appreciating like art and stuff. Like I used to, and still like, I'm not like super good at it. And I'm appreciating it more and more, because I'm relating it more and more to my life and my music and my creations and stuff where I'm like, okay, this is a whole different world, but I can appreciate it.
Right.
And so like, I've started getting better at that, but I used to be awful at like museums and like had zero joy and gratification of like going there. But I'm curious what your opinion is.
I love art. I think it depends on the art and kind of, like you said, how I relate to it. There are certain things that goes right over my head.
Yeah.
Like I took some humanity classes in like high school or college and that helped me appreciate certain things. Cause like you read about it in a textbook and then I actually see it in person. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So there were a couple instances. I think I fell in love more with art in Spain. They have a couple museums in Madrid. One is called the Prado, which is like second to the Louvre. Louvre is like, you know, the art museum. Yeah. And they had some, once again, like things that I read about in books that were in that museum. I was like, oh, that's cool. I actually saw this
now.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
And then the other one was called the Reina Sofia. And this is based off of like Pablo Picasso and all of his stuff. And one of his most famous paintings or murals, I don't know, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
It's called La Guernica. And I thought it was like a much smaller, you know, mural, but this thing took up like 18 feet or something like that. Like it was massive.
I love the comparison of the sizes of those.
So you see that.
That's so cool.
And I didn't know it was actually in that museum.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I didn't do my research, but like, there was like this awe and like silence when you saw it.
Yeah.
And it was literally like silent in the room.
That's so cool.
So there's that portion of art. And then I think the art that I love the most is like architecture.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned this.
This was big for me, especially in Spain.
Do you like interior design too?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It doesn't strike me quite to the core, like,
yeah.
like a architecture or something like that, like more the exterior. Interior, yes, if it's like a Marvel, right?
Gotcha.
So let me give you two examples.
Yeah, yeah. You go.
The Sistine Chapel in the Vatican.
Mm.
I've hyped it up for, I think it was my sister, and she saw it, and she was like, yeah, it was great, but, you know, not as cool as I thought it was going to be. But I went with my brother, and we were able to go, like, closer at night when they were closing, so there weren't a lot of people there. And, you know, you see the Adam and God portion, like them touching fingers. That's like the most iconic part that Michelangelo did. But it's massive. Like, you look straight up and it's a cathedral.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's a distance massive,
and it's a mural across the whole top of this thing.
Mm.
And you think about what he had to do. On his back, right? Yeah. That's part of why he's so famous. On his back, painting this for years. This man dedicated his life really to God, when you think about it, to paint this. Very few things have literally taken my breath away, and that was one of them. It was literally like, wow, just the sheer size and like the skill and what that, you know, I can't remember how many years it took him, but it wasn't just like a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
You know, years of his life.
So that's awesome.
That was incredible to me. The second one is in Spain. And my favorite architect is Gaudi. He does some weird stuff. Like, I'll just put it that way. If you go look up Gaudi's things, it's like really abstract for architecture, like crazy lines and stuff like this. But one of the ones that I'd seen twice, but I only got to go on once, is called La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. So it's this massive cathedral.
Yeah.
Once again, but it is so ornate. Like, it is crazy ornate. And the inside, and you see the outside, you go inside, it's a completely different experience. These stained glass windows are like red and greens and blues, and you see the sun go through it, and it's just, it is nuts.
That's awesome.
You go around to the side, and it has, you know, like museum type stuff, and you actually see where he's buried. I mean, you can't see him, but
yeah.
And it was a very awe-inspiring moment for me.
Did that one take your breath away?
Yeah. Like, obviously to see it, but then also where he rested. Yeah. Like, this man, like this cathedral took over 100 years, and they're not done with it yet.
Hmm.
They're still building. I think it's supposed to be done in like 2026. But this man dedicated his life to God. And Doughty did it to be like, I'm going to be memorialized in this. Yeah. No, but he did it for his dedication. And it's like, this man gave his all to put something in that he knew he wouldn't see the end of it, but that it would be for everyone to see.
That's beautiful.
And so, like, that building itself just literally, like, took my breath away. And then seeing, like, the interior, too.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm showing Brandon a picture of it. If you haven't looked up the Sagrada Familia, take a look. And, it's cool to see in pictures, but it's something else to see it, like, in person.
Yeah.
That's the inside. I bet.
Holy cow.
And so you see the light, like,
oh my goodness!
And stuff. Like,
look up just, images if you're listening.
Yeah, to this. Check out the Sagrada Familia. I'm telling you, it's one of those things that I was just like, and maybe it's because I'd studied or knew a little bit more about Gaudi that I was like, "Dang, that's really cool." But I just didn't want to forget it. Yeah, loved it.
That's awesome.
So the Sagrada Familia. Yeah,
you're good. You can talk.
You can join in.
It's casual, remember.
No, it's just really cool because it's hundreds of years of work, and
that's phenomenal. I'm curious if holy cow! Look at the sheer
mass of that thing; it's huge.
That's gorgeous. Do me a solid. Look up Hamburg, Germany Music Hall, because this is something. My dad was just in Germany recently, and he sent me a video of their like trailer. They're still finishing the building. The outside architecture is phenomenal, but the inside architecture of the performance area and where the orchestra will be and where the seating is. That's
cool looking, dude.
Right? One of my new life goals ever since seeing this. Whoa. Yeah. Right? That's Look nice. It up if you're listening. One of my new life goals is to write a symphony and conduct an orchestra in there.
Dude, that'd be sick.
Right? Like that's I'll what come. I want to do so bad. Holy cow. But
I'll come with you, brother.
Like I don't appreciate architecture probably as much as you or as somebody that's into that sort of a thing, but this sort of an architecture and like and obviously it relates to music and to the like the acoustics. I can just imagine the room and the feeling of the music flowing through there. Like that just gives me chills.
Well, right? Modern architecture is very different too, but in a cool way.
So super
like
cool.
It's different what they do with that kind of stuff as well. So I can appreciate that. And I think part of it too is it's all about that experience. Like I don't live in Spain.
Yeah.
I lived there for 2 years. I lived in Mexico for three, but like I didn't like necessarily see it when I lived there because that was my focus when I was there. But I went back and saw it with my wife and, you know, with my siblings and my parents. And it was just, man.
That's so cool.
You know, something
so cool.
You hear about all these years and then you actually see it and it's like, wow. So I get it, man. I think, yeah, for me, it hits harder with architecture than it does with art itself. But I think, to be fair, music is a form of art.
Definitely.
Art is a form of art, like painting, drawing, like all those things. And I think those are all great ways to express yourself.
And to feel that joy and that happiness, right? I was going to ask if there's a song or an artist that has taken your breath away in a similar way of these, seeing these murals, these architectural things and whatever.
Maybe not to the extent that it has for, like, obviously I know we talked about John Bellion for you and that's big.
Yeah.
I would say this happens to me every couple weeks where there are lyrics that it hits a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I realize what the words are and I'm like, oh, wow.
Wow.
And the one that I was talking to you about recently, once again, it hit just a little bit harder because I was listening to him the last day or two, was, Forrest Frank. So I feel like there's a growing emergence of like this kind of like hip hop rap-esque style genre. I don't know if that's what you would call it.
Yeah.
But this guy, I think his song is Good Day. I got to look up the lyrics, man, because I'm telling you, it's interesting. Like some of the things he said just really hit me hard.
And it's a very Christian song, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he leans a little bit heavier on like Christian style rap.
Yeah.
I would call it soft rap, if you will.
It's not hard rap, but
because you know that's my style of music.
As you know, if you're a loyal listener,
So it's honestly in the first part, and I could read the whole song, but I'm not going to. It's a great song. So it's called "Good Day" by Forrest Frank, and he says, "I'm about to have a good day, no matter what they say. The sun is shining down on me. Birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day in every single way. The God who made the universe knows me by my name. So it's a good day." And that line.
Powerful.
"The God who made the universe knows me by my name. So it's a good day." That like it just it caused me to reflect a little bit.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is yes, but I don't necessarily remember, these are specific artists at these times that have hit me like that, because I think similar to this one, I've had that as the years have gone by because of what I've been going through in those times of my life.
That's awesome. To go off of that line and stuff, I think music for me and what I mean, I mentioned it right at the beginning of something that in the moment brings me a lot of joy, but like continually brings me a lot of joy, is music and creating music for me.
Yeah.
And that line, right? The God that made the universe, like the great creator of the universe, knows me by my name, right? Where I'm sitting here, and the reason that I think music brings such a lasting joy for me as an individual is because I create and because I write and produce and love that world that I'm able to create in that space. I'm able to create of this intellectual property that isn't tangible, but you can feel it, right? Yeah. And that feeling of creation and creating connects me to my God. And like, I love that. And I love being connected to the great creator, right? Like that's such a level of, okay, I can feel a little bit of what he felt, right? Creating this world, creating all of life and all of this stuff. Like that's amazing. And I can feel a little piece of that because I'm sitting here creating. And I'm sure artists feel the same way when they're painting, when they're sculpting. Michelangelo probably felt that the whole time, right? Absolutely. I mean, he was devoting it to God and all of these things and the architecture. And like, there's your life vocation and your life calling, if you will, creating and being able to make a space and of connection to God and to others, I think is something that can create and hopefully will be able to create for you a lasting happiness that's more than just this temporal instant gratification. Anyways.
Oh, I love that, man. And I think that brings us to like the pinnacle of what happiness truly brings, or joy is another great word for it, because yeah. I'm going to get real for a minute. I've been going through quote unquote hard times. And when I say this, it's not like life is bad.
Yeah. Right?
Like everything is hunky dory in the Taylor household, but there's a tough balance in life of trying to be happy with where you're at, but also trying to strive to do more.
Yeah.
Strive to help more, strive to be more. And I'm a recovering perfectionist. sometimes it's easier said than done. And so I've been going through this time lately where, you know, I feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing, but I don't know where that's leading to.
Yeah.
I've got a clear path, but I don't necessarily know what that trajectory exactly looks like. And sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
And it is not to say I'm not happy, because I definitely am, but it's like, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. What?
Hmm.
Right. And so I've been going through this lately, and as I continue to think this way, I've been given nudges, I would say, from God of just like, have joy in the journey.
Yeah.
Joy and happiness in the journey.
In the moment, right?
In the moment, in those small things. And we've talked about that. Happiness is focusing on those small things, right? Magnified by what we focus on. And so for me, all these things that we've talked about, that instant gratification doesn't get us to where we can have that true happiness and joy.
Mm.
But I think the key is you can find true happiness and joy in yourself.
Yeah. And in the journey of what you're going through.
And in the journey. Success is not an end goal. It is the journey. Success is the journey. It's what you're going through. And I've read
plenty of
books that talk about that, and heard plenty of speakers that talk about this. But I think my journey, right, of this in the last couple of weeks even has been, okay, fair enough. I need to have joy in the journey. How the heck am I going to do that, right? Like what am I going to do? And for me, it came down to an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
We talked about in the last podcast how one of the things you love about music and things you can do is focusing on specific instruments at a time.
Yeah.
And it helps you have that appreciation for those instruments. And I'd probably say within the last couple of days, I've been trying to reflect on those individual things in my life.
Yeah.
We have life.
Yeah.
We get to live.
That's like, amazing.
We get
to
live
a miracle
in
of itself.
Right? Like that in and of itself is joy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've got a job that pays the bills. Mm-hmm. I've got a business that I can run too that's helping strive for future goals.
Yeah.
We've got this awesome podcast. It's a great way to just express ourselves, right? If nothing else, and come together. I've got an amazing family. You know, awesome kids. Those small moments, and I talked about this on the last podcast, but I'm going to say it again. When each of my kids have said to me individually, "You're the best dad ever." Man, nothing tugs at your heartstrings more than when your kids say stuff like that. When your parents say, "I'm proud of you, son."
Yep.
When you see someone that's down, when you see someone that's having a bad day, you are an answer to somebody's prayers by helping lift them up.
It's amazing.
And so like...
And that's true joy.
Yeah, that's true joy, man. No, it is though.
Definitely.
The fulfilling of that is... And whether or not you believe in God, the belief in a better life.
Yeah.
I think we all want that.
Definitely.
And the best way we can have that is by helping others have that too. Is by giving that back to them. So I guess what I'm getting at is true joy or true happiness is different for everyone. Mm-hmm. For Brandon and I, we find it through our belief in God.
Yeah.
And through our fulfillment and what we do through our families and through creation, whether it be through music, through, you know, through having children, through just those relationships we have. But I think for each of you, I hope that you find that true happiness and joy for yourself by realizing who you are.
Yeah.
Brandon, what's that line that John Bunyan says?
What if who I hope to be was always me?
You are enough. I hope if nothing else from this podcast that you get that like you know that you're enough.
Yeah.
Do you know that no matter what you're going through, you can get through it because you're strong enough? And that as long as you're grateful and you keep pushing through, that there are always brighter days ahead.
Definitely. Jacob Collier said something along the lines of, I believe it was him. If I'm wrong, well, sue me. Don't sue me. But he said, focusing on the past is a pride thing.
Ooh.
And focusing on the future is an ego thing. But focusing on the present is true humility and true joy. And like, I heard that and was like, holy cow, right? And what you're talking about and enjoying the moment and being present in the now and all of that stuff, that's true joy, right? And regardless of if you're at a high or if you're at a low, if you're going through tough times, if you're going through the best times, right? What if who I hope to be was always me?
Hmm.
Focus on the now, be humble, be grateful, and you'll make it through and you'll see the joy in the moment and the happiness of the moment. And like, whether it's God, whether it's a better life, focus on that present moment, focus on the now, be humble, be grateful, be who you are. And that's beautiful.
I got to end with one last quote.
Say it.
From our favorite master, Oogway, Kung Fu Panda. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That is why we call it the present.
The best line. Enough said.